Good morning. Let's get right into the test, if you will. Quickly, clear your desks of everything but a pen. Now this will be a timed test, and from the time that you begin with my cue, you will have 15 minutes. So you'll want to make sure to synchronize your Rolex watches and be all ready to go when I give you the signal. And I have decided that we're going to grade it in class because you are such astute students that it won't take any time at all to be able to take care of that. So, and that will save hours outside of class working on it. So we will be trading the papers, and you will be grading them as soon as we complete the examination. So no talking. For those listening on tape, hi, how you doing? How are those cauliflower ears doing, kids? We only have two more weeks to go. Tough it out. Okay, file number 10, test on Hebrews chapters 1 through 6. Maybe this brother would help me pass these out. Now, please do not start when you get it. When you get it, just put your name on it and the date. The date is the 11th, I believe. Is that right? 12/11/84. Thank you. Are there any other extra tests lying about? We want to collect those. Okay, everybody has a test. You have your name on it. The date, 12/11. Okay, you may begin. 15 minutes. If I may have your attention, 2 points I want to make concerning the test. The first one is just to remind you to always carefully read the instructions for each section or each question. For example, please note that in the beginning there it says check all that apply. So any and all responses that are applicable or that are true should be checked. Not just one, but any one or more that would be applicable. Also, I do have one addition to make. If you would please look on page one at question number three, response letter A. It says this proves Christ was a separate person. After the word person, please add the words of the Godhead. Of the Godhead. That's question three, response A. After the word person, add the words of the Godhead. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's exchange our papers. I actually gave you about 17 or 18 minutes on it. Very quickly here, let's grade this in class. Would somebody be able to grade two papers? Thanks. Okay, quickly write your name on the paper as corrector and use a different colored ink than the paper that you're correcting so that it'll show up as corrections. Now, I am not the author of this test, and I don't say that in order to make the author of the test look bad, and I don't say that as a cop-out, but I say that only because I may not necessarily be the best interpreter of all of the questions of the test and everything that was implied and so forth in it. But I do have the key, of course, the grading key, by which to grade it, so I'm not just making guesses here when I give you the right and the wrong answers. But I just wanted to let you know that I have to pretty much go by the grading key. However, being the current teacher of this course, I do have the liberty to make exceptions to the rule if there are any responses which I feel are ambiguous to where the student could have taken it one way or another way. And of course, there were several questions here. Students had, does it mean this or that, or should I supply this word or read it just the way it is or whatever. Let me say that in general, the less that you read into a question or the response to a question, the better off you are, because generally they have been worded just the way they were purposely to be taken that way in a very literal, obvious sense rather than any innuendos or tricks or left out sections and so forth. And in general, you're better off just to read it, take it the way it is, and it's either right or wrong or true or false or not applicable generally. Now, what we're going to find is there are going to be a few questions here that I'm going to allow either way because I do feel they're ambiguous. So let's go through it. And in the interest of time, I'll simply read the answers to you and you go ahead and grade it accordingly. All right, so number one here on page one in the check all that apply, here's what we have. Letter A, check. Letter B, blank. Letter C, blank. Letter D, check. Letter E, check. So A, D, and E are checked. B and C are blank. Follow the instructions there as to the number wrong. There's one wrong, minus... two wrong, minus 4 points, three or more wrong, minus five. So there could only be a maximum of up to minus five there. Number two, letter A, blank. Letter B, check. C, check. D, check. Now E, I believe, is supposed to be blank, according to the grading key, but because of the ambiguity of it, I believe that we will allow it to be checked as well. So just leave E alone, whether it's blank or check, you give it credit. All right, number three, letter A, check. Letter B, excuse me, I'm sorry. A is blank, that's the one that we added the phrase of the Godhead on. And with that, it's definitely not right. B is also blank. So A and B are blank. You thought for a minute I was a heretic, huh? Letter C is check. D is check. And E is also checked. So A and B blank, C, D, and E checked. Number four, letter A, blank. B, check. C, check. D, check. E, check. F, blank. So B, C, D, E are check. A and F are blank. All right, number page two, number five. Letter A, blank. Letter B, Is supposed to be blank, I believe, I'm sure, according to the key. However, the way it's stated, it makes it sound like it's merely a translation question. But if you recall, I took a moment or two on the board and showed you that it's a manuscript question and not a translation question. And depending on which manuscript reading you take, it's God is thy throne or thy throne, O God, in evocative or the other case. So because of the ambiguity there, I'm going to allow that one either way. Letter C, check. D, blank. E, check. F, check. Number 6. Letter A, check. B, check. C, check. D, check. E, blank. They announced it, but didn't worship him at the first coming. Verse number 7, letter A, check. B, check. C, check. D, check. E, check. F, blank. So they're all checked, but the last one, F. Number 8, letter A, check. Letter B is supposed to be blank, but I could see how it could be read another way. His blood inaugurated the new covenant rather than him coming in the new covenant. And if that threw some people off, then I will allow that to be blank either way, blank or check. C, check. D, blank. It doesn't say that Moses was not faithful. He was faithful in his house. So D is blank. And also E, blank. I don't want to take questions right now unless it's rereading a point. Number 9, A, blank. B, blank. C, blank. D, check. E, blank. F, check. And G, check. All right, page 3, number 10. A, blank. A is blank. B, check. C, blank. D, check. D, I believe is supposed to be checked. However, that's not necessarily, I don't feel, the main point of Hebrews chapter 4. I would say I will allow that either way, blank or check. Number 11. A, blank. B, check. C, blank. D, check. E, check. Right, number 12. Letter A, blank. B, blank. C, blank. D, I'm going to allow D either way, checked or blank. E is checked. Number 13. Letter A, check. B, blank. C, blank. D, blank. E, check. F, check. Now go back and quickly but carefully total up the number of minus points and deduct those from the total possible, which is 71, as you notice on the front page. Then return that to the owner, and then please pass them back. Now, I'm sorry that I won't have time to answer any questions today on this because I want to get into Hebrews. So if you have a question, other than having me read an answer to you, please write it down on the test, on the top page, on the front page, on the top, so that we can see it when we go through and correct these tests, and we will evaluate that at that time. Which one again? 8E. 8E is blank. Anybody else need any other questions or answers read? Yes.
What is 5F?
5F is checked.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is 7D?
7 what?
7D.
That would be checked.
8D?
Check. Okay, after you've scored them, please pass the papers forward, turn them to the owner, and then if they have a question on their test, then they can write that up at the top, and then we'll pass those forward, collect them, and then pull out your notes for the book of Hebrews. No, first, after we collect the tests, I want you to pass in the assignments, but I want to have all the tests first so that they're separate. I don't know. I'd have to go back and check my notes. If you write a question
okay.
on that, I'll...
So, do you want me to write the date then that was given on the verse? Is that...
Sure, if you want. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a hard one. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Now, I have been continuing to go verse by verse, albeit at a faster clip, through this section that we're going to be handing out the notes to you on, namely chapter 7, verse 20 through 10:39. historically, Mike has never gone through those verse by verse when he's taught the course. He's simply given a handout and given an assignment for the students to read over it and write on it. What I'm going to do now is almost the same thing in the interest of time, and that is, although we've gone through actually two chapters of it, we're on 9:20 now, so we've gone from 7:20 to 9:20, but we've still got to go to 10:39, so that's another chapter and a half, which would take, well, it's five pages of notes, it'd probably take close to an hour. We'll save ourselves half hour to an hour by me giving you a modified, simpler version of the assignment, and then we'll get right into chapter 11. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to read through this section, 7:20 to 10:39, and I want you to write a summary of that section, and you can decide how you want to do it, whether you want to do it in an outline form or just write it in paragraphs, in prose. But write a summary giving of what you feel are the main thoughts that Paul is trying to express to the Hebrew Christians, the main points, main thoughts. Now do that in your own words. Don't just quote scriptures from that section, but rephrase it, put it, condense it, put it in your own words. And if you need help by looking at other versions of that section, like NAS, Rotherham, whatever, then take advantage of that. Also, if you want to use your outline that we handed out to the book of Hebrews as a guide to help you to work your way through that section, that would be fine. Doesn't need to be lengthy, but I do want it to be accurate. And we'll have this due next Monday. Pardon?
We don't have our outline.
You don't have your outline.
You're not handing them out for next week.
No, the outline to the book of Hebrews, the outline to the whole book that I handed out at the beginning of the book of Hebrews. So this will be due Monday, and it's going to be a check grade, not a letter grade. So don't spend oodles of time on it, especially if you have other finals in your other classes to study for or other term papers to hand in and so forth. Then don't spend, you know, all kinds of time on it, but do read through it, looking at a couple other translations if you need to, and it'll be a check grade, which means it's the type of grade that'll help you if you're on a borderline of a grade, B minus or a B. It would help you to have the B maybe if everything else was equal, if you'd turned it in and done a good job, whereas if you didn't turn it in, then perhaps you would get the B minus instead or the lower grade. All right, and so that'll be due Monday. So we've already gone through most of this section. So you have the added benefit now of having heard most of it lectured on. Now you're not going to get the verse by verse, what Wayne was referring to. You're not going to be getting that, the handout of my teaching notes on that section. But that's good, because that'll mean that you'll do the assignment instead of just recopying my lecture notes. It'll make you go through and read it and so forth. And then you'll get that handout Monday. All right. Any questions on that?
Seven twenty to ten thirty nine.
Yes. Oh, I'm not requiring typewritten. I'm not requiring anything in terms of minimum, maximum typewritten bibliography, but I'm not requiring it to be elaborate, but I don't want it to be a junker either, where, you know, 2 minutes before class starts, they're scribbling madly and they're writing out something they know not which, just so they can hand something in. If I saw something like that, I probably wouldn't even give it credit, or I'd give it a check minus, minus, minus to the 50th power or something like that, where, you know, they handed it in, but, you know. Okay. So this will be the 17th then. So we can skip over that. And that whole section is basically this comparison of, or contrast, maybe I should say, of Christ with the Aaronic priesthood. Yes. It's showing, excuse me, basically what this whole section is doing is showing Christ to be the great high priest. Now, I'm not giving away any mystery or secret when I say that. I think it would be pretty obvious when you read it that that's what it's doing. It's showing him to be the great high priest. It's showing him to be the fulfillment of the Hebrew ceremonial law. Now, you better turn in more than that when you turn in the assignment, but there's a key there. Yes, Beth? Hard telling. We only have 2 hours and 5 minutes left. Actually, we have 55 twice. We have 2 hours less 45. But we have an hour and 45 minutes is what we have. And I don't really know. I'm not going to go crazy here and turn into Donald Duck in high gear to try to get the rest of this taught. So we'll just have to wait and see. All right. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll get a couple verses here, or maybe one verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, here we have a description of faith. Some would call it a definition of faith, but I think it's more describing it. It's describing what it is rather than defining the meaning of it or the meaning of the word faith. It's a description of what when you see it in action. It is a substance. Here we have the Greek word hupostasis.
H-U-P-O-S-T-S-I-S.
And we've got a preposition there, hupo, which means under, and stasis, to stand or a standing. And so it literally means a standing under, or that which stands under. Now, that didn't mean a whole lot to us, and so we come to render it in a different way. It's talking about the substantial nature of something. Faith is the substantial nature of things hoped for. Or if that's a little bit too wordy, how about the reality? Faith is the reality of things hoped for. Or some have translated it, and I believe this is how the NAS says it, the assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The confidence, the conviction of things hoped for. So you can see how one would lead to another. If you've got the reality of that thing that you're hoping for, then you have the confidence of that thing hoped for. So the substance leads to the confidence or assurance of things hoped for. And then, in really kind of a parallelism here, like in the Psalms, he says it another way, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence in the Greek is the proof. It's the proof of things not seen. NES is translated a little weaker than that, the conviction of things not seen. But the point is that there is an invisible, spiritual, heavenly realm in which God the Father dwells and in which the things that we are to inherit are. And we are in a visible, temporal realm, is to us the proof of the reality and of the existence of those things. They are things that you're hoping for. Rewards. Presence of God. They're the proof that those things that you can't see with your eye are real. It's the evidence of things not seen. Just like in a courtroom case, if a person is going to be convicted of a crime, there has to be some evidence that the crime was committed. And so maybe there will be circumstantial evidence. Well, here's a weapon, and here's blood stain on the carpet, and here's bits of hair and so forth, and here's an eyewitness report of the man going into that person's apartment at this hour, and so on and so forth. And they piece together bits of evidence, and by that they may have enough in order to be able to convict the individual of the crime that he's been charged with. And so we have exhibits. We have evidence in our heart through what God has done in our lives and putting the Word of God within us and the Spirit of God that bears witness that we are the sons of God. All of these things and others, our experiences in the heavenly realm, understanding of the Word of God, the changes that He's already wrought in our life, all of that has engendered a faith within us. And that faith is the substance of what you're hoping for. It's of the same essence of what you're hoping for. It's an evidence or a proof of things that are not seen. So faith is our substance and proof that all of God's promises are true and that they're sure. The things that we hope for, the things that we do not yet see, does not mean just anything you want, anything you might hope for, but it means those things that are promised in God's Word. That if you're hoping in heaven, if you're hoping in eternal life, not just, well, I hope to be a millionaire someday, and my faith right now is the evidence of things that I'm hoping for. No, you don't have faith in, you know, in ridiculous things that God has not promised, but it's in the promises of God that He's speaking. All right, that was the last bell, so we'll remark a little bit more about this first verse, because it's kind of the table of contents, in a sense, or the prologue to the rest of this chapter. So once you understand that, then these stories of these patriarchs, you begin to understand why they're in here. So we'll continue with that Monday. Yes. Yeah.